Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the all weirdo alternative medicine knuckleheads at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And Tacey will be here in just a minute. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, or if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. And don't go to Cafe Press anymore. I canceled our account. I'll tell you the story of that in a minute. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very cool. If you will go to stuff.drsteve.com, that's stuff.drsteve.com, you will see the Rode tuner. It's the most incredible dang thing I've ever seen. Have you been playing with yours?
I have been, yep.
Yeah. It'll tune any string. Well, not like a violin or a viola or a cello, but I mean fretted stringed instruments.
Yep. Guitars, mandolins, banjos.
Yeah, bass.
Yeah, bass.
And all kinds
yep.
of weird tunings. Like if you want to tune to open G, open yep. D, yep. you know, dropped E to or drop D, whatever they call it.
Yep. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool
I always
tune.
Wondered why in the hell you would tune a guitar with all the same notes except the bottom note would be one, you know, two half steps lower.
Yeah.
So they drop it to D. And then I watched this guy, Rick Beato. You ever watched his YouTube channel?
Mm-mm.
Holy shit, this dude is awesome. Well, he's got perfect pitch. His kid has perfect pitch. And when I say perfect pitch, you play a note and they go A flat, play another note, B flat, you know,
wow.
another note, C sharp. And then the kid, you could play like a chord and the kid's got his back turned to the thing and just immediately says, you know, C sharp diminished.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So anyway, Rick Beato, one of the things that he can do is he'll take pop songs and just sit there with his guitar and he'll listen to it for a second, then he's got it, you know, and he can say, well, okay, that's this one is a, you know, a two six one chord progression. Oh, look at that. They throw in that suspended, you know, fourth or whatever.
Right.
And he's amazing. But anyway, why am I? Oh, he did a thing about the dropped E string and showed who would use that and how it would be used in, say, like metal or something like that. It was really pretty interesting.
That's pretty cool.
You know, you want to get – because there are times when if you're playing an E, you really wish you could play that D under the E to as a lead-in.
Right.
But then you always have to go up an octave, and it sounds crappy, and so you get a deeper, meatier sound. There's some stuff like that, and it's pretty neat.
I'll have to check that guy out.
But anyway, the Rode tuner that you can get by going to stuff.drsteve.com, and I'll probably make a link, you know, Rode.drsteve.com at some point. But right now, just go there or click on the link that's associated with this podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, like an Apple or iTunes, it'll have the links in the description. Anyway, all right, good deal. It's cool as hell. And check out Noom. DrSteve.com if you want to lose all that weight you gained over the holidays still and you're having trouble. Noom is a psychology program. You get 2 weeks free and 20% off if you decide to do it. And it's not like Weight Watchers. There's no points, and it's not on and on and on. It's 3 months. And Noom.DrSteve.com. And I think if you sign up, I'm pretty sure you don't have to give them a credit card in the beginning. So if that weirds you out, you don't have to bother, because I don't like those either, where they say, "Oh well, give us your credit card, and then you can cancel any time." Yeah. I don't like that.
No,
just let me pay when I want to pay, and let me renew it if I want to renew it.
Yep.
And a lot of these places count on you forgetting about stuff.
Yep.
And then you just on and on and on. So I think I got on some adult website at some point, and there was something I wanted to see. I'm sure I was doing research for the show, and I apparently paid a fee to get in, but then I didn't read the fine print, and they were just continuing. It went on and on and on for years, I think. So, and well, look at this. Here's Tacy.
Hello, everybody.
All right, very good. Well, let's see here. Oh, don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. It's spelled kind of like simplyherbals.net, but it's actually simplyherbals.net. Or as they would say in the UK, simplyherbals.net.
That's exactly right. I was going to say that.
Yeah, were you? Because we've been watching a great British baking show.
Oh, funny.
And they say anise instead of anise, which is interesting, which probably is anise. They're probably right about that. And then they say herbs instead of, you know, they pronounce the H. Among other things.
Mm-hmm.
You've not made any baked anything that I've had in a week or two.
Well, you're out of your mind. I made the hell out of some stuff last week.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I made a chocolate babka. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode where they're all in line and they had to get the babka?
Of course.
Well, I never knew what the hell it was, but they made them on Great British Baking Show, and I looked it up, and it's sort of like a it's made the same way that you make a corone, which is, you know, made with regular bread flour. And then you roll it out, and then you put ham and basil leaves and cheese on there. And then you roll it up.
Oh, wow.
Into a tube. And then you split the tube lengthwise all the way down. So, it's you know, you see all the layers are just exposed. Mm-hmm. And then you wrap those things around each other, twist them around, and then you join it at the middle.
Okay.
I mean, join it at the ends, and it makes a crown.
Right.
It's a corone. It's French for crown.
Corone, right.
And that he knows how to pronounce in French, but islet cells, no. He calls them islet cells. But anyway, I'm very impressed with your odd collection of things that you do well, Scott. But anyway, and then you bake it, and it is outstanding. Tacy is on Noom, and she didn't want to eat very much, but she tasted it, and I can't eat it at all.
And I gained 4 pounds.
But well, not just from that.
Helpful.
But our kid Beck ate the whole thing. He kept coming down and getting a chunk of it, and then another chunk, and another. And then by the morning, the thing was all gone. Well, anyway, the babka is the same way. except you use brioche dough, which has a lot of eggs and butter in it.
Okay.
So it's real elasticy, kind of rubbery dough. And you roll it out, and then you make this really just crazy rich chocolate paste that you put on it.
Stop
and
it.
It's got, you know, regular solid chocolate and cocoa and confectioner sugar and all this stuff. Anyway, and then you spread it over, and then you roll it up into that tube,
cut it.
And instead of twisting them around, you kind of braid it. Mm-hmm. And then stick it in a bread pan, let it rise or prove, mm-hmm. And then you bake it, and then you coat it with a simple syrup while it's hot, and it kind of crystallizes, makes a real shiny exterior. Mm. It's outstanding, mm-hmm. dude. Mm. I made two of those. I made one for the nurses at the in the COVID unit, and then I made one for the house.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah.
That's cool, man.
So if you want me to bake you guys something, I will do so. All I need is somebody to say, hey, will you make me something, and then I'll do it.
Actually, all Dr. Steve needs for someone to say is, hey, I bet you can't do this.
Noel, then, no, they probably
then it's
be
on.
But like our next door neighbor, Becky, who's, you know, she's kind of on my list in case something ever happens to Tacy and her husband.
Oh, my goodness.
At the same time. They'd have to be in the same car wreck. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but she's hot, though. But she wanted those. What do those lemon cookies taste?
Mm-hmm.
From Sam Goody's or something like that?
I don't know. From some place in a town near us.
So I had to find that restaurant or the recipe and make those.
Yeah.
And those were outstanding, too. So anyway, mm-hmm. it's fun.
Cool,
anyway,
man.
Check out Great British Baking Show. And if any of our British friends or friends in the UK.
Any of our mates.
have a line to Prue or Paul Hollywood, I would love to get an autographed book. But anyway. All right. Tacy, you got anything?
Yes, I have one article that's non-COVID related.
Ooh.
Cool.
Ooh, I like that. Let me see. Let me give you one of these. What do you got?
Okay, hold on just a second. Doctors warning over TikTok beauty craze that uses erection cream to make lips bigger.
What?
What?
Mm-hmm.
I want more.
What erection cream?
More info.
It didn't know, the physician said he didn't know what erection cream they were using. But listen, you can buy this stuff in the drugstore that puffs your lips up. For lips, you don't have to go
right. Which kind
the
of
penis
lips?
Route?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mouth lips, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, for God's sake!
No, I'm asking.
Oh, come on. That's
well, no, no,
that
no.
wasn't a legitimate question.
It's totally a legitimate
no,
question.
No.
As an impartial judge, I would say legitimate.
No,
of course you guys would say legitimate because you're both perverts.
No, let me tell you why. Because there's blood supply to the female genitalia that is not the same as penile tissue, but there is some erectile activity going on. So I wondered if they were putting it in on their female parts to puff things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm just
a little.
Yeah, there's a TikTok about that.
Well, no,
Steve.
I don't. So I'm all big about TikTok. Okay. What? But you don't know what the stuff is.
It doesn't say what kind of erection cream. The doctor says he doesn't know what kind of erection cream was used. However, he
oh my God, look at the picture of this guy.
He recommends against it.
Okay, so what he's putting on his lips is a vasodilator. So most erection creams are vasodilators. They increase blood supply, which makes sense. I mean, erections are just blood supply, right? But I doubt it works on the old penis, but it seems to work quite well on the lips. And I don't know. I mean, listen, that's what it's not designed for. It's definitely off-label, but I'm not sure why these. Oh, good Lord. Why the docs are saying it's so dangerous.
How dangerous could it be?
I know. Well, you know if
you're allergic to it,
it says
to it, sure.
These creams are not made to be ingested
that's right,
or
that's right,
consumed.
Sure. Right, but he's not ingesting it. If he's just putting
topical,
it on his lips,
man.
He's putting it topically. Now, if it is absorbed, And he, because it's more mucous membrane-y, lips are, and just on the other side of the lips is mouth, which is mucous membrane. If it could be absorbed and dropped your blood pressure, that could be a problem.
Well, it says trying this could cause you to suffer an allergic reaction, stinging, soreness, blisters,
yes,
and uncomfortable swelling.
I agree with that.
And you can buy your own lip plumping lipstick from CVS or Walgreens.
They're saying here that lip plumping, God, try saying that five times real fast. Lip plumping glosses work the same way. They use capsaicin, and capsaicin is the molecule that's in red peppers.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot, and it increases blood flow to the lips because it's really just an irritant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just irritating the crap out of them, and the body goes, what in the hell is on my lips? I need to send blood there to dilute out the effects of it to the tissues by injecting fluid into that area, and then you get plumper lips,
sure,
which is, you're just basically torturing your body and causing it to make you look more attractive.
Because, we use a lot of topical creams with the capsaicin in there because it works as a great analgesic,
Yeah. Sure. Capsaicin is sold as a topical analgesic, as Dr. Scott said. I'll give you one of these.
Give yourself a bill!
But and the way it works is you have to keep applying it,
right,
because it's not like lidocaine that just turns off the nerves. What it does is it depletes a neurochemical called substance P. And when it depletes substance P, the body can't transmit a pain signal through that fiber anymore. So
right.
We used to use that a lot for arthritis.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And I have changed my mic. And now I am popping my peas every time I say one. Let me try that. For arthritis and also for post-herpetic neuralgia.
Yes, in other words, counterintuitive.
Yep. People who have shingles who end up with pain afterward that can last months to years, once the blisters have totally healed, you do not want to put this stuff on open skin, Lord.
Yeah.
But once it's totally healed, you put it on, and then you'll get a burning and tingling for a while. And then when that goes away, the pain will go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah. We use this stuff for, and you'll know what this is, but this chronic regional pain syndrome, the CRISP.
Or the
RSD, which some people used to call it.
Reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
We'll use that sometimes for those patients just to try to turn off the those nerve endings.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like you're overwhelming the nerve endings, and then they just go, we can't.
Yeah, because they can't transmit any more information. So that's one of the ways we try to break those cycles of pain.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good stuff.
All right, good old capsaicin.
Heart's a great herb.
It is a great herb. All right, that's a good one, Tase.
Good one, Tase.
Okay.
What else you got?
Could worse COVID illness equal stronger immunity after?
That is intuitive that it would. Mm-hmm. Tell us, what do they say?
They examined blood samples from 39 COVID-19 patients and 10 people who hadn't been exposed to the virus. And all, they analyzed the expression of individual genes of more than 80,000 T cells.
Okay. Ah, I like that.
Of the COVID-19 patients, 17 had milder illness and weren't hospitalized. 13 had been hospitalized, and 9 ended in intensive care. The researchers were surprised to find that patients with milder COVID-19 had weaker T cell responses.
You say they were surprised or they were not surprised?
They were surprised.
Why would they be surprised by that?
Well, I don't know, Steve.
Yeah, they're stupid. And that's it?
It's a big, long article. I could read the whole thing, but that's pretty much the sum of it.
Yeah. Very interesting. Now, they were measuring the immune response by measuring antibodies and then T cell
CD8 plus T cells.
Okay. So that's a pretty good study because they weren't just looking at antibodies. So you have humoral immunity, which is antibodies, and then you have cellular immunity, which is basically T cells. And, B cells are involved in all that as well. But the B cells really produce the antibodies, so they're more humoral, or, on the humoral side. But they or weren't just looking at antibodies, because that's been my complaint about some of the studies, is that all they're looking at is antibodies, and they're not remembering that there are memory T cells that never forget anything. So what all this really tells us, though, is that they're not expressing the markers of immunity that we traditionally associate with things like this. But the question is, when they're exposed again, what happens to them?
Mm-hmm.
If they had "quote unquote" weaker immunity, well, they already had an asymptomatic syndrome, right?
Right.
So, if they get it again, they're asymptomatic again. Who cares? Right. Other than that, they can transmit to other people, which is why we need herd immunity, which is why we're pushing vaccines and stuff. But
I wonder if that would translate to those, you know, because we were talking about before we came on the show, people having the vaccine's a second vaccine. Some people have a little bit more reaction than others.
Oh, yeah, and you did, right?
Yeah, and I had a little bit
talk
more.
Talk about it.
So we had our whole staff was vaccinated, and everyone felt some of the first shots, no problem at all. The second shot, we were all tired, fatigued, sore. One of us spiked a fever up to 101.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. On that, the... 24 hours later, but it only lasted for about 2 days.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm just wondering if those of us who have a little bit more robust response to the coronavirus,
that's a great question,
would be more kind of immune to it in the future.
Well, that's interesting. I hope that's not true, because
I hope not too.
I had a very mild reaction to it, although I had one. That's how I could tell I got the vaccine. You know, right now we're doing pretty good in Tennessee, particularly. We peaked out our cases at, and I'm looking at a simple moving average on December 26th was the peak of the simple moving average at 8,000 new cases. And, you know, we're down to half of that right now, about 4,000 new cases. So, and that's the smooth moving average. Now, the total cases right now is 1,900 new cases. So that's a huge difference. And you can see, if you go to covid.stoutlabs.com, you can look at your state. Let's look at the one of the big ones. Let's look at California and New York while we're at this. So if you all want to get on covid.stoutlabs.com and then click the states, U.S. data, and then you can look at it with us. So I'm going to look at New York. And New York, wow, had a big peak early. I'm looking at going back 300 days, big peak back in April. And then it fell down, but still, you know, 600 cases a day, 700 cases a day, and then started creeping back up around November 16th. And then it peaked at January 18th, and it now seems to be working its way back down. So they've got 14,000 new cases. If you look at the simple moving average, if you look at the absolute number for today, which was January 26th, it was 11,000 new cases. So now we can look at new deaths. And, you know, in the beginning, New York, not so good. You know, you look back at April of 2020, they were running, you know, 1,000 new deaths a day. And then it started to drop pretty steadily. And then it bottomed out at about 9 to 10 deaths per day between July and November, and then started to creep back up again. But still, it's just at 190 deaths on January 25th, and 219 would be the absolute number. That's the simple moving average number. So, and then if you look at deaths per population, New York's pretty, you know, they're up there right now at 219. Let's look at what's one of the more open states. Florida.
Oh, Florida's getting worn out.
Okay, Florida.
They're as bad as...
No, they're not.
Are almost as bad.
No, when you look at deaths per 100,000 population, they're at 116. New York's at 219. You know, and Florida's wide open, and, you know, mm-hmm. and New York is locked down. So, you know, it locked down. I've said from the beginning, I didn't think that lockdowns... Maybe the first 2 weeks when we did the 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever, that was fine.
Yep.
And everybody kind of went along with that. But I am still to this day not seen evidence that people eating indoors is a risk for super spreader events, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I had an article from the Journal of Pediatrics that I wanted to talk about today. And it was the reason why our kids are back in school full time, that there was a really nice study that showed pretty conclusively that schools are not super spreaders, and that the number of cases that of transmission within schools, particularly from student to teacher, is vanishingly small.
Okay, good.
And it argued that kids should be in school.
Right on.
And that's not some right or left wing, you know, publication. The Journal of Pediatrics really not very political. They're really like the Journal of the American Medical Association or New England Journal of Medicine. They really are interested in the science.
Right.
And the science is looking pretty good on kids being back in school.
Good.
So anyway. All right. Enough of that. What else you got? Anything?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Hail
that's
Lethean.
All you get.
Okay. I like the TikTok one. And maybe we should try that. Let's find that erection cream and I'll put it on my lips. You want to?
No.
Okay. Because the other thing you can do is just go to a med spa and get filler. And then your lips are, how long does that last, Taste, when you get filler?
Well, it depends on what kind.
That's true. Let's
and
just say hyaluronic acid.
I don't know the difference, but I mean, when I get it done, I get it done and it lasts a while.
Yeah.
Three, four months. No, longer than that.
We should get Chanda in here. She's now she's got a boyfriend, so that whole date or Dr. Steve's friend bit kind of fell through. But we should get her in here anyway because she's entertaining, and then we could ask her these questions. Because mm-hmm. she does vaginal rejuvenation, you know, and that vaginal rejuvenation, Scott, I'm telling you, I could not do this procedure.
Right.
Because it's a probe. It's about 8 inches long. And what does it do, Taste? It vibrates and it's got radio frequency energy.
Yes.
So it tingles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes in, it comes out. It goes in, it comes out. It goes in, it comes out. Then you go up and down all around the other. If I did this procedure to someone, they would immediately run and say, that creepy old man assaulted me.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to have the right person doing it. But conversely, if we were going to do, extracorporeal shockwave treatment for erectile dysfunction, which works, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
I probably wouldn't want her doing it, although maybe some guys would, but that would be weird too. So I will be doing those.
I think they put enough numbing agent on your wee wee to keep it from doing much while
the
probe is
still
stroking
it's just weird. So I'll do that one, and she can do the other one. All right. Anyway, but we need to get her in maybe next Wednesday.
Okay.
That'd be all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
like her. She's your
yes,
friend
I do
more
like
than she
her.
Is mine. So, all right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Let's see. We did alternatives to Xanax last week. So, let's do a couple of these. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Let's see.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey there, Dr. Steve.
Hey, man.
Had a question about Peyronie's disease and actually more question about just having a curved dick and what the difference would be between the two. Because I see that there is treatment for basically the symptoms of having a curved penis. And as I see that Peyronie's disease can be a little more serious than just... the negative life consequences of having a curved dick. I'm still curious about seeing what using those treatments to possibly straighten one's erect penis out. And I think if I'm that concerned about it, I'm sure there's possibly millions of other men out there that would be curious about this treatment in not just a disease approach, but more like, I guess, in a cosmetic way. So, Okay. Yeah, that's my question, pretty much.
Okay. So, Peyronie's disease, it is a disease of the penis, generally caused by scar tissue in the sheath, the semi-expansile sheath of the penis itself. So the way erection works is you have some sort of stimulation, and then the arteries and arterioles going to the penis open up, and then the veins and the venules coming out of the penis kind of shut down a little bit. So you have more blood going in, and it can't get back out, so now it starts to fill up. Mm-hmm. And that sheath is only expansile a little bit as far as girth, but more in the length arena. Sure. So if that weren't true, then you'd just get a big giant balloon shaped penis and it would look stupid and be floppy. So you want this sheath to be only partially elastic so that it stretches just so much. And then after that, it provides kind of a rigid or a semi-rigid sheath that the more blood you put in there, then the harder, the harder the erection becomes. And you get to the point where, as we say in Tennessee, a cat couldn't scratch it. So if, however, you have intercourse, particularly with the woman on top, this is a lot of times how this happens, and she's thrusting downward and maybe you've got whiskey penis, mm-hmm. and you're semi-erect and the penis comes out of the vagina a little bit, and then she thrusts down and actually folds the penis over on itself.
Breaks it.
Yeah. You'll have sometimes incredible pain with that. And if you actually get a penile fracture, you'll probably end up in the emergency room because there will be swelling and excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you may just get a little injury to that one edge of the sheath where the penis bent.
Right.
And then scar tissue develops. And now scar tissue isn't as elastic as the sheath itself. So when the penis becomes erect, the scar tissue won't expand, and now it's going to bend in the direction of the scar tissue.
Right.
Now, a little bit of curve is probably a good thing. Matter of fact, a gentle curve of the penis, especially to the side, to one side or the other, will give an illusion of increased girth. Now, why is that? Well, because as you insert, you're pushing against the, let's say if it's curved you know, it comes out of the body, curves a little bit to the right, and then curves to the left. So it's an arc. It looks like a C with the bow pointing to the right. And when you insert the penis at that point into whatever orifice, but let's just say for the sake of this story, it's penis to vagina, the penis will put more pressure on the right side of the woman's vagina, right? And then as they insert, then it's going to go more and more to the left side. And then as you complete the thrust and it bends back the other way, then it'll be more in the middle. Mm-hmm. So you'll get this impression of greater girth because you're exciting not only the neurons on the left side of the vagina, but on the right as well. And but now a very pronounced curve can be painful for the dude, and it can can render intercourse impossible. Mm-hmm. I've seen them where they're almost right angles.
Yeah.
So for those people, they really need to get something done. And it also gives you an effective shortening of the penis, too. Oh, the dogs are here. Let me turn on the doggy microphone. Okay, well, so we'll see if they have anything to throw in later. So you want to see a doctor if you notice this. Urologists are the ones who normally would treat this. And most of the time you can't tell that you have it when you're flaccid, by the way. So there are other things. If you have family members that have Peyronie's disease, or if you have any kind of connective tissue disorders, like De Poitrin contracture. Oh, there you go, Tace. Is it okay if I just decline those while you're in here, or do you want me to let you look at them to see? Okay. And then people are in their 50s and 60s is much more likely to happen. So there are some treatments for this. There were stretching devices where you use a device that has what are those things called? Not something cock. No, that's
cock ring.
No. A latch cock or it's, oh, no, latch a turnbuckle. Key. Turnbuckle. Oh,
turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle. I don't know. I just have cock on the brain, I guess. So you would have a Velcro strap that goes around the base of the penis.
Right.
And then a Velcro strap that would go under the glands or the head of the penis, the AKA the proverbial Roman war helmet. And then you would have turnbuckles that were attached to those. And then you could turn those turnbuckles and it would put more and more pressure and more stretching in the longitudinal direction to try to stretch the penis out. Mm-hmm. And that for people that don't have really severe Peyronie's, that can be helpful. They may even gain about a quarter of an inch. You know, in the acute phase, you're just going to have to let it go. But in the chronic phase, that's what we're talking about. It was all this stuff. There are injections. So that's the first one's called penile traction therapy. So you just apply traction to it to try to straighten it out. There are injection therapies. One of them is a thing called elastase. And what it is it's an enzyme that breaks down collagenase. It breaks down collagen in scar tissue. Mm. And when they inject it, then you can apply traction. And as the scar tissue dissolves, you can sort of remodel the penis.
Right.
And they don't recommend surgery until the disease stabilizes, but surgery is also an option. And then there's a drug called verapamil. It's used to treat high blood pressure. And it disrupts the production of collagen, which is in the scar tissue. And it's well-tolerated, may even reduce pain. And then there's one I've not used, is interferon. And that is a protein that's an anti-inflammatory protein. It breaks down the production of fibrous tissue. And they did a placebo-controlled trial on it, and it was showed statistically significant improvement. So there are things that you can do. Mm-hmm. So if you have this, you don't have to suffer with it alone. Go see a urologist, and they've got some ideas.
Right on.
All right? Okay, dope. Yeah, the surgery is pretty gruesome. I wish GVAC were still here because this would be one where I could really get him cringing. But They let's look at this. I'm looking at Mayo Clinic now. Oh Lord. Okay. One is called Plicating the Unaffected Side. So that's not so bad. And what they do is suture the other side to kind of even out the traction that's being put on the sheath. And it results in straightening of the penis, but is limited to less severe curvatures. And if it's less severe, why are you doing it? And then they can do incision or excision and then grafting. And it says with this type of surgery, the surgeon makes one or more cuts in the scar tissue, allowing the sheath to stretch out and the penis to straighten. It's wow.
Well, I hate to leave with all this penis talk.
Oh, honey, I just got to the best part.
The good part. It's
penile implants. Surgically placed penile implants are inserted into the spongy tissue that fills with blood during an erection. The implants might be, semi-rigid. Manually bent down most of the time and bent upward for sexual intercourse. And, you know, what I want to know is if anybody in the audience has a penile implant. So if it's just always sort of rigid and you just kind of jam it in and go in and out, do you still have an orgasm with that? You know, I've been doing this 35 years and never gotten a good answer to that.
Kind of, you kind of wonder if they're still neurologically intact first.
Well, okay, let's say that they were, yeah. And that was just a blood flow issue. I'm out. Yeah, you got to go. Thanks, Tace.
Bye. Here,
let's give Tace a...
Bye, Tace.
So,
wrong
button. Thanks, Tace. So what we need to do, if we want to chase Tacey out of the room, we just got to talk about penises, right, Tace?
penis.
But, you know, why would we ever want to chase her out of the room, though? But I always thought that the erection, at the neurologic cascade that happens to make an erection, that's, you know, with the parasympathetic nerves and the spinal column and all that stuff.
Yes.
That was essential for an orgasm to occur. Because if you take a flaccid penis, it almost doesn't matter how much you stroke it. Nothing's going to happen, right? So isn't one that's semi-rigid kind of always flaccid, really? And why would you ever have an orgasm?
Well, think about a spinal cord patient.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
they can put a TENS unit on a penis.
Yeah.
And stimulate it to the point where the they actually have an orgasm if they're trying to conceive children.
Yeah. But, well, that makes sense because it's a spinal reflex. You know, the ejaculation is pretty much a pure spinal reflex.
Yeah.
So if you're...
There's not a lot of upper cortical.
C3 quad or something, yeah, right. Then you can still have... You can still ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
So now I knew a person that didn't have any feeling from the waist down, but he could have what he perceived as an orgasm by somebody like rubbing on his arm while they were having intercourse. So I thought that was interesting.
That is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Talk for a minute about that. And then
rubbing an arm.
I don't know, whatever.
No, so I know I've got a couple, or I know of a couple gentlemen that do have the penis pumps from injurious events.
You mean, so a penile implant that is a pump.
It's a pump, right.
Okay. All right.
And they do, they have semi-erections.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that's got to be kind of strange getting used to, I would think.
Yeah, the ones that I used to see at the VA were not really, I mean, I guess they were functional, but they weren't hogs by
no,
any means.
No.
Here's an article from the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy, and it's called The Effects of Penile Implant Surgery on Ejaculation and Orgasm. So this should answer my question.
Okay.
It says 35 patients received penile implant were interviewed to assess their pre- and post-surgical ejaculatory and orgasmic experience. Prior to surgery, most men were able to experience ejaculation, 71%, and orgasm, 80%, even though erectile capability was impaired or lost completely. Well, that's interesting. The implantation of a prosthetic device did not interfere with ejaculation or orgasmic functioning.
Cool.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty cool.
Well, hell, why don't I just get one of those? Then I don't have to worry about anything.
Make it a lot easier.
Five men who had been non-orgasmic earlier reported having orgasm after surgery. Hmm. Wow. Okay. Oh, I see. So what they're saying is, in these cases of psychogenic orgasmic dysfunction, the penile prosthesis helped overcome the psychological barriers to dysfunction. Now, I can see, I mean, so much of sex is in the brain.
Yes.
I mean, it's in the mind.
Yes. Mental.
And if
mental.
You're not into it, it ain't happening. And if you are feeling insecure in any way, most of the time it ain't happening.
It ain't happen, yep.
And so, you know, and all of a sudden they give you a rigid hog and you're walking around like an 18-year-old with a semi-erection all the time. Mm-hmm. I could see where that could turn things around for some people.
Oh, shoot, Jim. Yeah, it gives you, makes you feel like you can actually accomplish the goal.
We used to, well, still do, if you had a young guy that had performance anxiety, mm-hmm. you could give them a prescription for Viagra and just never use it. But knowing that they had it, took away their performance anxiety, they could go back to normal again.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Yep. It's all about the mind, getting the mind right.
It certainly is. All right. Okie doke. That was a good one. Did we do the nocturnal erection one last time we did, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do this one.
Yes, this is Wade from Louisiana. I'm going to try to be the new Stacy DeLoach, I guess.
Okay, Wade.
But I was wondering if you... are
for you to be able to do that, you got to do a couple of things. You have to bring us no carb brownies, which is Stacy's wife makes, and you have to call three times a week, and I throw two of the calls away. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get your ham radio license so we can talk on ham radio, on digital mobile radio. So, but other than that, you're doing great.
That's right.
Being treated for low testosterone, say you're taking injections and you stop, will your testicles start producing mm-hmm. testosterone again, or have they shut down?
That is an excellent question. And the answer is it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. My,
no.
My gun just fell out of my pocket.
Oh,
I hope that doesn't ever happen at a restaurant.
Oh, my God. Lord.
Well, I got to be careful when you're here, Dr. Scott,
that's
just
true.
In case you try something.
All those crazy women chasing me around.
Yeah, or that. That could be it.
That may be more likely.
Stop. All right. So I have heard of people who overdosed on testosterone. Let's say they were bodybuilders.
Right.
And they were cycling. And then they stop and start feeling bad, go get their testosterone checked, and it's zero.
Yes.
And they get it checked a month later, it's still zero. I've seen cases like this. And in those folks, their testicles stopped producing.
Yes.
They just gave up the ghost.
Yep.
And so you can get to a threshold where it won't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have low testosterone and you want to preserve fertility, in other words, you might have kids with your girlfriend or wife or whoever, testosterone therapy isn't the way to go. There's another therapy called clomiphene citrate, and most fertility docs and urologists will recommend that instead. And what that does is it encourages the testicles to make their own testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take testosterone replacement therapy, if you take enough of it to get your levels up to where they're supposed to be, the testicles just go, well, why are we even bothering?
Right.
You know, they obviously don't need us. And they will stop producing and they'll shrink too.
Yeah, they shrivel up and peck their shit up.
When you do Clomid, they don't do that. So it's a feedback loop. Basically, there are hormones in the pituitary gland that when there is low testosterone on board, they will send out more of these hormones. And their hormones are telling the testicles, make more testosterone. It's just like submitting an order. If you're, you know, if you're an automobile manufacturer and you're running out of brake pads, you submit an order mm-hmm. to the brake pad factory, and then they ship you brake pads. And if you have too many brake pads, you don't order them for a while. They don't make any. They don't ship them to you.
Yep.
And if you start running low, you put in a big order, and then they make more.
Yep.
It's the same thing. So the the pituitary sends out these hormones. The testicles start making testosterone. Now, if you have primary testicular failure, in other words, you've gotten old and you're losing your ability to make testosterone,
mm-hmm.
the pituitary will order more testosterone. So the levels of those pituitary hormones will go up while the levels of free testosterone will decrease. Okay.
Right.
So for a while, and when the pituitary goes, hey, assholes, make more testosterone, they'll do it. But then they kind of tire out and they continue to fail.
Yes.
So in those people, you'll have high pituitary hormones, particularly FSH and LH, and low testosterone.
Right.
Now, if you have a pituitary tumor that's preventing the ability to place those orders, let's say you're ordering clerk at the car manufacturing, or you've lost their computer went down, they can't place an order.
Okay.
So then they don't make any brake pads and they don't ship any. Same thing. In that case where the pituitary is not requesting more testosterone, you'll have low pituitary hormones and low testosterone. Mm-hmm. And that's leading you toward looking at the person's pituitary.
Right.
But high hormones, low testosterone.
Normal.
It's not normal, but that's, you know.
Well, as an aging.
Primary testicular failure.
Right.
Okay. So now, so if you have a situation where there's high hormones, pituitary hormones, and low testicular hormones,
mm.
because of primary testicular failure, and now you give somebody testosterone, what's that going to do? The pituitary is going to detect the testosterone, and they're right. going to go, well, okay, got plenty now. Stop sending us. So they will start to decrease the demand. Well, you've already got testicles that can't meet the demand anyway. And right. so the only thing that's making them make any at all is these high levels of pituitary hormones. Well, now the pituitary hormones are decreasing. The testicles are going, well, okay, I guess we're good. You know,
we've done our part.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It sure does.
So in those people, you will see a high test or a normal testosterone and low pituitary, a low or normal pituitary hormones. But if you could differentiate between the two types of testosterone, the native or what we would say endogenous body made testosterone would be almost zero. Now, when you stop, sometimes the testicles will come back, but a lot of times they won't.
Right.
So there you go. So. Again, if you want to preserve your ability to impregnate somebody, then don't use testosterone for your low testosterone. Ask for clomiphene instead.
Right.
Or at least just tell. You don't have to remember that.
No.
Just if you're going somewhere, you say, hey, wait a minute now. I heard there was this stuff that I could get my testosterone up, but I could still stay fertile.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that was a good one.
That's good.
Did we do this one?
Yes, Dr. Steve. This is Wade from Louisiana.
Oh, now I see. Now I understand.
There you go.
Now I got it. Okay, yes. Okay, he's meeting one of the criteria of
yes.
being the – and is he from Louisiana?
Louisiana.
Well, that's where Stacy lives too, so
yep.
they're both – okay, got it. Well, that's fine, though. Good. If they're good questions, I don't care how many times you call. All right. Let's take his question, though.
But if you – have had COVID, will the vaccine be beneficial to you, or are you immune? You would think that if there is a vaccine, then if you've caught COVID, your immune system would fight it and you wouldn't need it.
Yeah, you would think that. Thing is that we don't know what kind of immunity people are really getting. And we do know that at least the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines make different antibodies. So would two kinds of antibodies against the same virus be a good thing? Or could one of those block the other one and then cause a worse syndrome later? We don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So far, though, people who have been vaccinated and there are millions of them now that have gotten COVID-19 have not had that horrible worse syndrome. Matter of fact, the vaccine seems to protect people from dying.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading straight from the CDC website, because it's not just me saying this. This is the CDC. And it says, due to severe health risks associated with COVID-19 and the fact that reinfection is possible, vaccines should be offered to you regardless of whether you already had COVID-19 infection. The CDC is providing recommendations to federal, state, and local governments about who should be vaccinated first. So we're working on that. At this time, experts do not know how long someone is protected from getting sick again after recovering from COVID-19. The immunity someone gains from having an infection called natural immunity varies from person to person, which is good, because if it was all the same, we'd either all be dying or all be fine. But one virus could tick all those boxes and kill all of us.
Yep.
That this natural variation is very important to the survival of our species, that one virus can't just run through it or through us and kill us all.
Yep.
Now, an alien virus, maybe, but not a Earth-made virus. So Andromeda strain, still possible. Of course, spoiler alert, at the end of that, it mutated to a strain that was not deadly. So like regular viruses often do. Okay, some early evidence suggests natural immunity may not last very long. Well, okay, now the immunity may last very, very long. Antibodies may not last very long. It says we won't know how long immunity produced by vaccination lasts until we have more data on how well the vaccines work. Both natural immunity and vaccine-induced immunity are important aspects of COVID-19 that experts are trying to learn more about. That's always heartening, isn't it?
Oh, geez.
Well, we're trying to learn more about it, but in the meantime, this is what we're recommending. So, you know, it's I don't know the answer. That is a personal choice. If you've been infected and you're inclined not to take the vaccine, I would understand that.
Sure.
And then if you want to wait, that's okay. They are recommending that you get it, mm-hmm. When you're able to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Are they right or not? We won't know for the longest time.
Only time will tell.
Yeah. So if 10 years from now, all of a sudden, people who got the COVID vaccine are having horrible time with just regular coronavirus type colds, well, then we'll look back on this and go, you know, oops. But, well, okay, well, we learned something.
Yeah.
But so far, we're not seeing any of that.
No.
So far. But it is early days.
It is way early. We got a long way to go.
The other question, will the COVID-19 vaccine alter my DNA? We've answered that on this show. Absolutely not. Nope. It doesn't work that way. The RNA does not inculcate with your DNA. It can't.
No.
RNA is a messenger from the DNA to these little machines called ribosomes. Which, by the way, I've said this before, but go to YouTube and look for an animation on mRNA transcription, and it will blow your mind.
That's pretty cool stuff.
These machines,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's just instructions to the ribosomes to make proteins. That's it.
Right.
That's all it is. Okay? All right. All right, Scott, you got anything else?
I don't think so, Dr. Steve.
All right, well, let's get out of here. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Opcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, the girl who's not a PhD, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, the great Rob Bartlett, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington and Fez Watley, and the Port Charlotte whore, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.